thank Glenda for putting our banner together. It's just amazing to see people use their gifts for that. I just don't mean to put you on the spot, but we appreciate that so much. As we begin this Believe series starting next week, today just kind of an introduction of that. But I want to just start off just telling you that, you know, some of you probably don't know this, so I thought I'd let you know that I turned 50 this last year. I know I look a lot younger than that. If you ask some of the younger people, though, I asked some kids on my bus, and I said, "Well, how old do you think I am?" 70. So it just depends on who you ask. You want to really be careful who you ask, I guess, for those kinds of questions. But you know, I think that's a good thing. I really do. Some days I feel a lot younger than that. Some days I feel all of that and more. But I turned 50 last year, and one of the things that I did was I decided, you know, I've really got to start thinking about my health a little bit. Something I've never really, I guess, really thought about too much, never really done much with, I guess. I've always been active and stuff, but there was one day that I was, Susan, you might remember this, I went in and I decided, man, my suits need to go to the dry cleaner, you know? And so I went in and I started putting on these suits and just checking out some of them, and the buttons wouldn't work, you know? Anybody had that problem ever before? I mean, those where, you know, you can't get those things to touch, and even if you talk, no matter how hard you talk to them, you know? But on top of that, the doctor had been telling me, he said, you know, you got to get your cholesterol down, and cholesterol, what's that, you know? Anyway, but then it happened. I was standing one morning, I was looking in the mirror, and I thought to myself, man, no wonder those suits don't fit me. And no wonder my pants are just feeling a little snug. And I was like, you know, something needs to change in my life. Something needs to happen. This is no longer acceptable. And, you know, the interesting thing is, I think about that, is that I use that exact same criteria when it comes to my faith, when it comes to my spiritual walk with Jesus Christ. When I look in the mirror of God's Word, when what He does is He begins to reveal to me some of the areas of my life are really like. You know, that's not really good, right? And so, for example, sometimes my pride, it makes it hard for me to fit into my marriage. Or sometimes my lack of patience makes it hard for me to properly wear my parental responsibilities. Have you ever found yourself in one of those spots? Well, what I want to do is I want to go through 1 Timothy chapter 4 this morning. I want to just read this passage together. Maybe we can read this. It'll be up on the screen, or grab a Bible, grab your Bibles, or grab one in front of you. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to be starting with verse number 7, just looking at a couple of verses there in 1 Timothy. We look at the number 7, verse number 7, and here's what Timothy says. He says, "Have nothing to do with godless myths or old wives' tales. Rather," he says, "train yourselves to be godly." Have nothing to do with old wives' tales or godless myths, but rather train yourselves to be godly. Verse number 8, he says, "For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and for the life to come." I want to just stay right there in those two verses there just for a second. Paul is writing to this guy that he has invested in for a number of years, or for a few years. His name is, he's investing in him spiritually, but this is a fellow by the name of Timothy, and he's basically saying this. He's saying, pursuing godliness has value in all things. Pursuing godliness has value in all things. He's saying, in every area of your life, pursuing godliness, pursuing God, it will be a blessing. It will go good for you. It will be a worthy investment. I want you to think about that. What area of your life don't you want God in? Or what area of your life would you, being more like God, what area would that be? If you were more like God, what area is that would hurt things? He says here that it holds value for all things, and he says it holds a promise. It means it's got something in store for you. You make the deposit, but there has to be an investment. He's saying you'll get a return on what you're getting ready to do. There's this promise, there's this reward, there's this blessing coming from those who pursue godliness. And then notice the very next thing that he says, in this life and in the life to come. In this life and in the life to come. And if you're like me, automatically, you go right straight to that life to come part of that, right? That's the area that we kind of focus on, or we emphasize, is that time to come. You know, we think in terms of godliness, and then all of a sudden we automatically go, well, yeah, you know, when I'm in heaven, that will be important for me to be godly. But I think that Paul is making a stronger statement here. I think that what he is saying is this: it has value today. Not just tomorrow, but today. And what that means is that when you and I choose to pursue godliness, it has value the moment that we begin that pursuit. It's exciting just to hear Alex today saying, I want to give my life to Christ. And that pursuit, or that value for that pursuit, begins the moment that he made that decision. And the same is true for all of us. Godliness, it has that value the moment we begin the pursuit. It's not something that's only going to be good for you way long term. I mean, although it will, right? But it will also be good for you every day until then. In other words, this message in this sermon series, I mean, it is going to be good for future you, but it's just as good for the today you. Next month person is going to really appreciate you putting in the work into on this message, but today you could use this message. And then I just have to ask myself, do I actually believe what Paul is saying here? Do I really believe that this verse, that I can put my life on it, that this is a firm foundation? You know, I can stand on this with a reasonable assurance. I can plant myself right here, and I'm not going to be disappointed. Can I really trust that God's Word is going to produce fruit in my life? Can I really pursue godliness? I won't regret it. I wonder how many of us have ever struggled with believing God or believing in His Word. Any of you? You know, it's really interesting to me because the church has always been a safe place for people who believe in God. But it struggles, I think, sometimes to be a safe place for people who struggle. I wonder if somebody were to come up to you today and say, you know, do you believe in God? What would you say? And if they were to say, you know, well, why do you believe in God? Then what would your answer be then? Or if they were to say, well, what do you believe about God? Would your answers line up with God's answers? I mean, what do you believe? What do we believe about God? Or what do we understand about Him? What do we do? There are areas in each of our lives where maybe we have struggled, or even maybe we are struggling with really believing God and really believing that He is who He says He is, or believing His Word is as trustworthy as He says that it is. And if you've ever struggled with belief, or if you're struggling now, I've got three things to tell you. Number one is this: just because somebody struggles in the area of belief does not make them a second-class citizen in the kingdom of heaven. In fact, some of God's favorite people struggle with belief. I mean, you think about it. Some of God's superstars that you read about in Scripture, I mean, they had those moments where they just didn't trust God all the way. And it's just interesting as you walk through the Bible and you read those stories, just to hear that, or to see that and to read that and to understand that sometimes God's people, the people that He was working with the closest, that we look at as being heroes of the faith, really struggled in this area. The second thing that I think we need to know is this, is that most people are aware that they struggle in the area of belief, or that they actually want to, most people are aware that they, and they actually want to do something about it. Most people are not comfortable with their area of disbelief, or their area of belief, or their area of disbelief. They want to believe God more. In fact, research indicates that the number one thing that people want from their church is a better understanding of God's Word and how to apply it to their lives. That you're going to church and you know, you're saying to yourself, you know, I'm struggling to believe God. Help me grow in my belief. And then the third thing I want to tell you is that we're going to try to do something about that. Next week, we are going to begin this new series, and we've been talking about it for the last couple months, this last month we've been telling you, you know, hey, it's coming, we're going to do this, we're going to be going through this series called Believe, and we've been, but for the next, here's what it is, for the next 30 weeks, we're going to be learning again how to really believe, how to really trust in God. I don't want you to get too alarmed about the 30-week thing, okay? It sounds like a long time. Jeff and I have been talking about this. How do we break this up and make it, you know, kind of smaller sections so that we can really grab onto that? But here's the reality. There's really three sections, if you will. The first 10 weeks, we're going to be learning how to think like Jesus. We're going to think like Him. We're going to learn the foundational things that we need to believe in our minds. And then for the second 10 weeks, we're going to talk about 10 foundational things that a Christian does. What do Christians do? What are their practices? And then finally, the last 10 weeks, we're going to talk about what it means to be like Jesus. What does that look like? What kind of fruit does that produce in your life? And over the course of this series, we're going to see ourselves, I believe, we're going to see ourselves changed by God. Here's the cool thing. We're not the only people that are doing this. In fact, August or September, there's been over 700 churches in seven different countries that has started this exact same journey, this last fall anyway. And over the next couple of years, thousands of churches and hundreds of thousands of people are going to have gone through this same journey that we are starting on today, or starting on next week. And that means that people all over the world are going to be learning how to believe in God again and to strengthen that belief. Isn't that amazing? Say amen, right? Amen. That's good. Randy Frazee says this, and here's a quote from him. He says, "This series is going to help us think, act, and be like Jesus." He says, "The Christian life is not primarily an intellectual pursuit, nor is it simply about doing good or engaging in spiritual activity. The Christian life is about who you are becoming for the sake of others." Who you are becoming for the sake of others. So raise your hand if you believe your spouse or being married to someone, that your spouse would appreciate being married to somebody who is a little bit more like Jesus. Raise your hand if you believe, if the people that you work with could use somebody who looks a little bit more like Jesus. Right? You've got family members that would appreciate it if you looked a little bit more like Jesus, right? You have friends that are going, man, it would just be so good if this guy here started looking a little bit more like Jesus. See, that is what this sermon series is going to do. It's going to help you to become more like Him. And the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to learn how to think like Jesus. See, it's one thing to believe it's the right answer, right? It's another thing to actually believe it as a way of life. A lot of us know the right answer, but we fail to do the right thing. That's how Paul writes it in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Remember what he says there? He says, "Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds." See, we are going to learn how to understand the truths of God's Word, the foundational truths, so that we can think like Jesus. And after that, after we start thinking like Jesus, we will then be in the place where we can begin to act like Jesus. This is where God moves the truths from our mind and He places them down about 12 inches or more lower, and they begin to settle into our hearts and we begin to act like Him. Spiritual practices, spiritual disciplines, those are just simply a way of moving the truth from our hearts down to our mind, or from our minds down to our hearts, where we begin to feel it And then ultimately, once you think and once you begin to act like Jesus, you begin slowly, slowly to be like Jesus. See, I believe that God's way is the best way. Would you say that? God's way is the best way. I really believe that. I believe that in every area of my life, God's way is the best way. If you believe that God's way is the best way, then just put your hand up. God's way is the best way. Okay, so we've established that. Every one of us here, there may be one of you that didn't get that up, but we believe that God's way is the best way. But let me just tell you something here. What you believe impacts how you behave. What you believe impacts how you behave. So, for example, if you believe that God is a generous God, now we had Dave up here talking about offering and stuff. But if you believe that God is a generous God, and if you believe that God wants us to be generous, well, then that will impact how you spend your money. Or if you believe that God values relationships and community, then that will impact the way that you relate to your family and how you relate to your friends and how you relate to your church and how you relate to your community. It impacts how you behave. If you believe that God values honesty and that He values integrity, then that should make a difference in your workplace. That should make a difference during tax season. See, it doesn't matter what it is. I mean, we could put in a number of different things here. Yeah. We could put a number of different topics in here, right? We could do that. It doesn't matter what it is, but if God's way is the best way, that will have an impact on whether or not we are obedient to what God says. That's really the point. Because, see, the more that we learn to trust in who God is, the more we begin to trust in what God has said, the more obedient we become. And the more obedient we become, the more we begin to look like Jesus. And I think that's something that we all need. We all need to look just a little bit more like Jesus because, you know, sometimes, maybe this is more self-reflection here, I don't know, but sometimes we think we look more like Jesus than we really do. Let me just let that sink in for a little bit. Sometimes I think we look more like Jesus than we really do. Let me just read this. Let me look. You can turn here if you like. I think it's up on the screen here. Luke chapter 18. This is starting with verse number 9. This is Luke tells us this story about two very different people. But here's what he says in Luke chapter 18, verse 9. He says, "To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable." So here's what he said. He said, "Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. He said, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector next to me. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get.' But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and he said, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner.' And then he says, 'I tell you the truth, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted.'" You see, the further that you are away from somebody, the more you think you look like him or hurt them. See, if you were to take two people off in a distance, or maybe somebody way off in the distance, you know, way off there, and they were kind of coming towards me, and you're standing here and you're looking at them, and you kind of, we're kind of observing. We look and we kind of go, yeah, you know, they, it's a human being, right? We can tell there's a difference. Yeah, they're human, and as they get closer, oh, they have two arms, they have two legs, and they, you know, there's a lot of similarities. Oh, they've even got a neck, and start getting closer and closer. And all then eventually, as they start getting closer, you'd be like, oh, well, you know, their hair is just a little bit different length. Oh my goodness, it's a different color. Oh, they're skinny, or you know, our eyes are different colors, and we're different heights. And the closer they get, the more differences that you become aware of as people come closer in, and the less that you look like that somebody. What I want you to hear is this. The further that you are from Jesus, the more you think you look like Him. But the less you look like Him to others. The further you are from Jesus, the more you think you look like Him, but the less you look like Him to others. But the closer you are to Jesus, the less you think you look like Him, but the more you look like Him to others. And what I am hoping happens during this series, every single one of us to draw closer and closer to Jesus Christ. What would happen in your life if you began making moves toward Him like you had never done before? You see, this sermon series could bring about a revolution in your life. And see, I think about it this way. You could go to the gym, but unless you actually work out, it's really not going to do you any good. Isn't that right? You can show up for church, but if you don't pursue God, it's not going to add any value to your life. I think that's a popular misconception. Just showing up for church is going to make all the difference. Unless you pursue God, it will not add any value to your life. You can have workout equipment all over your house. I've got a great workout, a bunch of stuff that's in my garage. It's all in boxes, you know. Talking to my kids this week about that, and they're like, "Dad, can I stop by to the gym and I want to start lifting weights and stuff?" I go, "I got a weight set in my garage. It's all in the boxes still. Been hauling around for the last 10 years. It's not doing me any good in my garage, right?" You know, but see, here's the other thing: is unless you read God's Word, I mean, you can have the Bible scattered all over your house. You can have a whole bunch of them. You can have them on your smartphones, even. Your Bibles. I mean, it can be more readily accessible than ever before. But unless you read that, unless you allow yourself to be transformed by God's Word, unless you're submitted to it, it is not going to produce any kind of change, any lasting change in your life. You can have people all around you working out, but unless you work out yourself, you're not going to get more fit. And you can have people all around you pursuing Christ, but unless you pursue Christ, there will be no substantive change in your life. And so here's what we want to challenge you to do in the next 30 weeks, starting next week. And the first thing is, and I don't have one here, but the first thing is, if you look back on that table, if you haven't got one already, the Believe book is to grab one of those books. We've tried to make it as affordable as possible, $5 a copy. If you want to give a little extra, that's fine. If you can afford it, if you can't afford it, grab one. If you just want to grab one for free, I don't care. That's fine. $5 a piece. Otherwise, they're sitting on the table back there, a Believe book. We want to just challenge you. We're just asking you to read one chapter in preparation for the following week. And if you look in your bulletins, there's a little bar down there that says something like, next week is chapter 1. And that'll keep you on track in case you forget where you're at. So just, if you haven't bought one of those, there's a little bank there or a little church building. You can put your money into it or see myself or Jeff or one of the elders or something. But the second thing that we want you to do, and I can't believe I did this. I forgot this sheet of paper, but maybe not all of you want to do this, but you'll find this in the book. It'll tell you, it'll have a key phrase. Do you have your book there, Jeff?
I do not.
Does anybody have their book?
No.
Okay. There's a key phrase in that. In the first phrase, and I'm just asking everyone, if you would, if anyone that wants to, I think it'll be a valuable thing for you just to memorize the key phrase every week. And the first phrase is that God is, can you read it?
Who is God?
Yep. No, the key phrase. What's the key? Yeah, the key idea. To memorize the key idea. And I have this chart. And if you just see me next week, I will give you one of those charts. And it has them listed for all 30 weeks. But here's the key idea. I believe the God of the Bible is the only true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's the first week. That's all you'd have to memorize. And as we get through that, after 10 weeks, we get to know what all those are, those foundational thinking to be like God and key ideas, and then start on the next 10, and then start on the next 10. But that's a pretty simple phrase, wouldn't you say? Say, yeah, that's pretty easy. That's good, isn't it? So we just want to challenge you. I want to challenge you just to do that. I know that not everyone's probably going to try to do it, but I want to challenge you to do it. And here's what I'm going to do. If you will do that, I promise you there's going to be something exciting for you. Let me know that you're doing it, and we will have something exciting for you at the end of 30 weeks. Something exciting for you that you will, something special. It'll be worth your time doing it. Just a challenge out there for you. So how many of you want to accept that challenge? Just the key idea. And there's 30 of them. Wow, man, I'm going to go broke. You know what? There's another thing we want to challenge you with. I'm wanting Jeff to come up here and just share something real quick. A third challenge for us.
The next element would just be that we also know. Part of a smaller group for 5 weeks in May is our proposal. We're going to see how the survey goes, and then we'll do it again. We'll see what the summer looks like, and do it again in the fall. Some smaller groups, but here's just the idea: each week we'll be able to read through this booklet. God will speak to you, encourage you as you read the book. Have a sermon on the Sunday morning that Paul or I will teach on that, and as we share on that, then we'd like you to be in a smaller setting group where you can discuss that Sunday's message. Talk about the things you've learned. The scriptures that God has shown you that, you know, but we didn't cover, that there's things that are deeper and can be wider and that we can encourage each other. And so that's what we'd like to challenge you to do. And so in your bulletin, and there's a few extras we can pass out. If you didn't get one, you can grab one. There's a little survey. And now surveys are only good when turned in. I've been doing surveys for a very, very long time, and the idea is not just to kill a couple extra trees, but it's for you to actually take this and fill it out and get it back to us so that we can make decisions on what will work the best for folks. And so what we're going to ask you to do with this paper is to look at it before you leave today, before we wrap up here in a little bit, and then as you leave, just the table where you took communion and the things are in the back as you head out that way, or just put them on the counter. They'll just end up being a stack right there, and just leave them there. And it just has on here that one exciting way for us is to meet together in smaller groups. The 9 o'clock study hour will be covering the same material, and so you can make decisions based on that. If you'd like to just be here in the 9 o'clock group, we get that too. We're not asking people to expect you to have to do multiple things a week, but we want to offer that these would be in homes, that we could have a couple of groups at least, and then just for the 5 weeks of May, but we want your input. And so on here it just has a place you can mark, the following nights work for me. And so you can just mark those off. Don't just say this is the best night, because then we might think you can't do it, but the following nights would work for you. And we're thinking hopefully late enough for those of you who have some chores, but early enough so that it's not, not too late if you have children to be around too. So think about that time and mark that. Also, just went ahead and put on there because we just don't want to just have a blank thing and you don't turn it in. And just I put that, May's just too busy. Maybe we just do something June to August biweekly. And so just put down your thoughts. If you have another comment on there and you say none of these evenings would work, but I'd like to lead a group that met over a lunch. I don't know what it is. Okay, but we just love everyone of you just to respond. Okay, you can put on there and say this is a dumb idea. Don't ever ask me again. We don't care what you write down. Okay. We'd like your input. That matters, okay? And because we like to plan around you. Because we know that in that type of setting, so often I think folks, Christians, feel like they don't really get to say anything. You know, the format of orderly service ends up being a couple of guys mainly doing the teaching. But God can speak through all of you. And this is a setting where God can just really be involved in your life and you can share with others too. So fill that out before you leave.
All right, thanks. So, yes, pick up a book. That's number one. Number two, challenge you on the key ideas of each of the chapter, just to commit to that. And then three, respond to that there with the for the small group idea. So anyway, you know, as I was writing this sermon, I realized how easy it is for me to put my hope in other things other than God. You know what I'm talking about? It's easy for us to, we're in election year, you know, and I say, you're looking at, oh, if some, you know, I hear this all over. Oh, if something doesn't happen, our country is going in. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. By the way, that's not a political statement at all. I mean, here's my point. It doesn't matter. God is in control. God is in control. But see, it's so easy for me to get caught up in all of that and to be watching that and get so fixated and to get all worried and all flustered because I put my hope in a certain candidate. And I realize, oh boy, that's, you know, God is in control. It's so easy for me to, it's so easy for me to put faith and hope in myself and my abilities to be able to do certain things. And I realize that, you know, that's really foolish, or to put my hope and my trust in others, in government or anything like that. It just to do that is just so foolish. And I have sinfully placed my hope in the things of this world rather than in the rock solid foundation of Jesus Christ. I have done that, and I wonder, is there anyone else that's ever done that same thing? In 1998, Michael Jackson came out with a hit song. I'm not a Michael Jackson fan necessarily, and I'm sorry for those of you who are. I didn't mean that to be a criticism. But anyone know what that hit song was called? Man in the Mirror. Michael Jackson fan?
I love that
song. I do like some of his stuff. And I was, yeah. So anyway, so glad that there are those out there that enjoy Michael Jackson. So, but anyway, Man in the Mirror was the name of it. And I guess, anyway, the words of that song really came to my mind as I was thinking about this. And I just realized something. And I realized, see, here's the problem. The problem of this world is not this world. The real problem is this guy right here. It's that man in the mirror, right? This guy is the problem, because if I believed more, if I did that, I could stand more for God. If I believed more, then my life would look different. If I believed more, I could finally start acting like Jesus, and I could have more grace, I could have more compassion, and ultimately, if this guy wasn't the problem, I would begin being more like Jesus to the people around me that need it the most. Listen to what Michael Jackson said in that song. I'm looking at the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to make a change. No message could have been any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, you better look at yourself and make that change. See, the problem in this world is not in the government. The problem in this world is not in our school systems. It's not in our society. It's right here. And what I have resolved to do is I am going to fix this guy with God's help. And so for the next 30 weeks, I am going to try to believe more. And I wonder if any of you would be willing to come along with me on that journey. Amen? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for just the ways that you intersect in our lives. And I can't help but think that this series that we're just embarking on, starting next week, it can be an incredible time where we can learn once again the things that we truly believe, and not just leave it there, but allow that to just seep its way into our hearts and our lives so that we begin to think and act and be like Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you would go along with us on this journey. God, that this would be an amazing thing. I pray for our lives, even some of us who maybe even consider ourselves, long in the faith, and just that we've been followers of yours for a long time. That you would teach us, that you would make us malleable, and just to help us to be able to step out even outside of our comfort zones, and to be able to focus on you and to listen to what you might have to tell us. God, we just thank you. for being here today. God, we just pray that as we leave this place that you would take the things we've learned today and just impress them upon our hearts and help us to go with, just help us to take it with us. God, may the places that we go this week and the conversations that we have and the things that we talk about, may they help others around us to look at us and say, man, I can tell that that person has been with Jesus and that they would desire to be scooting a little closer to us because we are close to Jesus. God, I just thank you for just all that you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.